Our latest alum in the spotlight is a war veteran who received combat-related injuries and who now serves as a veteran's advisor to Republican presidential candidate Buddy Romer.
Hi, my name is Mike Bassett. I transferred from Heartland in 2009 to American University in Washington, D.C. At the time, I was a sociology major.
So, Mike, tell us, what have you been doing since you left Heartland?
Besides raising my daughter, I've had a lot of academic achievements. It took me a little bit to adjust from being in a community college to being in an upper-tier level university, especially out in D.C., and I've took advantage of a lot of opportunities that come along with being in the D.C. area. I've done a lot of work with veterans organizations to get policy created to help veterans transitioning from the military and trying to get their education lined up or get into the workforce or something like that. And I've also done some veterans work for a presidential campaign.
Let's back up a little bit, Mike. Your interest in veterans affairs comes from the time before you went to Heartland. You served in the U.S. military.
Yes. Before I went to Heartland Community College, I was active duty in the U.S. Army from 1997 to 2007.
And you were shipped overseas most of the time, right?
Yes. Besides OSUP training and non-commissioned officer school that I attended in the States, I was overseas about the whole time that I was in the military.
Tell us a little bit more about that experience.
Actually, it was an awesome experience, and I went to a lot of different countries. I've been about everywhere in Europe and Asia, and I was able to get immersed in the cultures and learn about other parts of the world, and it was a great experience.
And you also served at an elite outpost on the DMZ in Korea for 5 years. What was that like?
Actually, that was my favorite assignment. For one, I wasn't getting shot at there. Well, not very often, but It was really interesting because that is one of the very few places in the world where you get to be that close to the most isolated nation on the planet, North Korea. And it's really interesting. It's a completely different world. And unless people really know about what's going on over there, they just really couldn't understand. But I stayed there for a long time because it was such an interesting situation, and our role was very, very important. It wasn't a job for somebody that couldn't handle working hard. You never get to leave base. You sometimes work for 2 or 3 days straight without a day off, without even getting back to your rack to sleep. So it's a real hardship tour, especially to do the tour for 4.5 or 5 years like I did. But the benefits of it were that, you know, you got to be in a situation right in the middle of one of the most tense hot spots on the planet and, you know, actually kind of serve as a diplomat in that area.
So what made you leave the Army? You suffered some combat injuries.
Yeah, I was medevaced and medically retired. I had several injuries and, you know, it's been a long recovery. See, that was in 2007 and I'm just getting done with my expected last surgery to recover from injuries. So I'm currently taking a medical leave from the semester. I'm going to try and get everything done on time with my class, but if not, then I can take some incompletes and they'll give me some extra time. But it's been a long recovery.
Can you talk a little bit about how you suffered your injuries?
Well, they're mostly in the line of duty from being deployed, and it's kind of a difficult experience to talk about, but they medevaced me with a helicopter to an Army hospital, and they saw that I was going to take a little bit longer to recover and need a little more services than what they could offer me, so they sent me back to the state to Brooke Army Medical Center in Texas, and I was there for about 6 months. They did everything that they could for me, but, and you know, I wanted to stay in because I'd been in for 10 years already. I was a career soldier, and I was actually really on a fast track. I was due to get my E-7 pretty soon.
What does that mean in military terms?
Sergeant First Class, that is once you're actually promoted by the Congress of the United States. You're not locally promoted anymore. That means that you've already done your lower enlisted time, you've already done your leadership time as a sergeant, you've already done your, you know, kind of transition to senior leadership time where you served as a platoon sergeant, and in my case, a tank commander and master gunner. So I was about ready to go to a senior military academy and get promoted by the Congress. And once you make your E7 Sergeant First Class, then you're pretty much, that's the point of, in the military where you've really, really achieved something. I mean, it's like going from a full bird colonel to becoming a general on the enlisted side.
Where were you when you were injured?
I had got hurt on one deployment in Kosovo, and then I got hurt on another one in Iraq, and I just started having problems, like brain injury type related problems, and you know, it was really affecting my life, and I couldn't sleep and I couldn't function. It turns out that I also had some broken bones too that I didn't know about, which just goes to show like how badly I was injured that I had broken bones I didn't even know about. I had nerve damage that I didn't even know about. It was a lot of stuff that I didn't even know that was wrong with me. It was pretty bad.
So now you are working to make sure that veterans who are returning from combat or from service are given the attention they need and the help they need educationally?
Exactly. That's my big passion. When I got out, I had it a little bit better than a lot of people because I was at an Army hospital and they were taking their time with me to take care of me. But still, even though I was there for about 6 months and I knew that I was going to be getting out, I was really only afforded about 1 month to actually prepare for that out of that 6 months. And after being in the military for 10 years, 1 month isn't really long enough to just go back to the civilian world. I noticed a lot of my friends that hadn't been hurt and they were just transitioning from their unit. One day they would be in Iraq or Afghanistan, and then the next year they were getting ready to ETS locally out of their unit, and they would only have 2 or 3 days where they would prepare to find a job or get lined up in school. And unfortunately, some of my friends, they just couldn't adjust when they got out of the military and they ended up killing themselves. No secret that the statistics for suicide rate pretty high for soldiers right now, and I see the core of the problem as being not given enough transition time. So I've been working very hard to get warrior transition unit available to guys who are transitioning if they want them, where they can take 3 months and prepare to get a job lined up when they get out and have a place to live and have a car to drive and have all their stuff lined up so that when they get out, they're ready. They have their medical needs taken care of. And if they have psychological needs, then they can get those taken care of. They can get all their files copied and have them on hand, and they can be integrated into the VA if they need help with them. Just have everything ready. It's like a smooth transition. Obama called it reverse boot camp, but basically these are the fundamentals of the ideas that we pitched to him.
So how are you giving this input? Are you part of a coalition of veterans, or in what capacity?
I'm a member of several veterans organizations. Also, having been in the military for 10 years, I know a lot of people in the military, and I have a lot of guys that served under me that I still keep in contact. Even guys that died, I still keep in contact with their families. And I really am kind of tuned in to the veterans community, and we throw these ideas around amongst us, and we actually take them forward and try to get policy created. A lot of my friends work on Capitol Hill. I have a job in a veterans coalition, and we work with senators and congressmen and national leadership and the president. You know, I've been to the White House several times, and we just keep on pushing these ideas until we get what veterans need, and then it becomes policy and it has a real effect.
Let me ask you how you think your time at Heartland prepared you to be this kind of activist and, in a way, lobbyist for veterans.
Heartland was was really perfect for me. It was like a stepping stone. I don't know if I would have ended up in the same situation right now if I would have went to ISU. Community college is a perfect environment for somebody to start off, especially when they're a non-traditional student. And you need some of that one-on-one advice and that type of environment to help you get on your feet. And that's what's perfect about Heartland. That's why I went there, and I'm glad that I did.
What advice do you have for current students?
Talk to your professors. I was majorly influenced by one of my professors at Heartland. He's my political science 101 professor.
Who is that?
His name is David Lewis. At the time, I was going through my transition as a non-traditional student. I really wasn't feeling like I fit in with the kids in my classes. I wasn't really sure how to do the college thing. And one thing that stuck with me was something that David said. He said, if you can't discuss something in an academic environment, then where can you discuss it? And that really stuck with me, because at that point, I wasn't really sure if I could give my input on an idea. But I did have real-world experience and a unique view. And because of the statement that he made that stuck with me, I was able to kind of feel confident about discussing that. And it really helped me a lot in my transition, and it actually kind of turned out to make me an asset in the class. So, there's not really, or at least when I was there, there really wasn't a student veterans liaison, but I had a guidance counselor there, and she is a veteran, and, you know, I didn't really need help signing up for my classes and stuff like that, but it was good to have her as my academic advisor, guidance counselor, whatever you want to call it, because she was a veteran, she understood, and I could just go in there, and if she had some time, and just talk to her about, you know, what, you know, how do I do this, and, you know, what's this college life all about, and, you know, stuff like that. So, there's definitely a lot of benefits there that helped me with my transition, and I don't think I could have done it without them.
I know you stay connected to the college through Facebook, which tells me that you're proud of your Heartland connection.
Definitely.
Well, Mike Bassett, thank you very much for sharing your time and your story with us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Keep checking the Alumni and Friends website at heartland.edu for the latest events and benefits. There are two events in February on the Heartland campus: the Challenger Learning Center's Fundraiser, which features amateur comics from the community who will surprise you with their comedic abilities as they raise money for scholarships so kids can attend sessions at the Challenger Center. Plus, the Day of Dance, a great event designed to get you dancing your way to better health. Check out the events tab for details and ticket information. I'm Heartland Alumni Relations Director Colleen Reynolds. Thanks for listening.